He don't give no shade, he don't give no tea. It's justice and post-cancer morality.
No, I'm done.
What?
How long you been working on that one? How long you been working on that one?
I actually challenged myself to see how fast I could create a little jingle for that that wholesome story you just.
What? It's replaying in my head.
Eat this.
Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy Hours.
Good for you.
Oh, this is the worst headphone thing ever.
It's because you're wearing a Mario hat. For real, for fun, for everyone, you're listening to Outlet Orlando. You're listening to Outlet Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour, 91.5 FM, WPRK, streaming online and archived on our website, gayradioshow.com. And with the free TuneIn Radio app, if you search WPRK on TuneIn Radio, you can download it, download that, listen to us anytime you want to. And also now to we're live streaming on our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Out Loud Orlando Radio, and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter.
Twitter.
At Gay Radio Show. That's Twitter.
Twitter.
And you can talk to us during the show and get a hold of us through Facebook and Instagram and stuff. It's just too much crap. Like, we used to just
be. It's not. I've actually, like, in the past 2 weeks, I've had people, like, come up and, like, talk about, like, oh, that's really, you're really fun on the radio. And, oh, my God, I like watching all your stupid faces.
So. And so now that, well, that's Bobby talking. So now that you know people are listening and watching, like, you come on and you have a fun time then, right? Like, you're enjoying it with them.
What? No, I actually had to get dressed today. That was the difference.
I need you to take your sunglasses off.
Though. Oh, yeah.
He likes to look into that. Your eyes.
It's really hard for me to do. By the way, I'm your host, DJ Justice. This is episode number 374. As we mentioned, Bobby the homosexual is here. How you doing, sir?
I'm here and I'm gay.
There you go, man. The young upstart Alex, who was my my ride or die this weekend. How you doing, man?
It was me. It was fun. It was hip. It was lit. It was light.
And you look really nice today. You look really dressed up. I know you had a job interview today. We don't want to talk about the particulars, but it went well from what you told me.
Yeah, it went super well. I was offered the position on the spot.
And did you have to get the haircut?
I have to do a 3-week training. After that training, when I get onto like the sales floor, then yeah, I do need to trim my hair. But I mean, during the class, I'm just going to let it free and let it do what it does.
What?
Now, are you plugged into the right one, or do you have headphones that don't work?
I think I have headphones that don't work.
Okay, what about the other ear?
What?
Does the other does the
oh, left? Shit. There. There it is.
All right. Do you want me to turn it down?
Wait. No, you're good.
Now you turn me down. Oh, you just turned off my mic.
Okay. I turned off the microphone.
Oh,
but
no.
I just
please
had to
turn
hit
it down.
Okay.
Because you're going to burp at some point, and then I'm going to kill myself. All right.
Myself. Is everyone okay?
We're the most professional radio show in Winter Park.
Are you working at Abercrombie?
No, that was high school, hun.
Oh, I chose American Eagle.
And then our other guest that's with us here today, he's been on the show before, but not in a while. It's I call him HWT Hot White Trash Drag Queen. Chris E. Mystery is here. How you doing?
Hi, everyone. What are you
okay,
doing?
Okay, so I do know you.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Oh, okay, I thought you were being... Really?
No. You're always in drag when I see you.
Oh, fair. Yeah,
yeah,
that makes
and
sense.
And you brought someone with you, too.
I did. We brought our my daughter, Annie Nomaly, today.
Hi. You seem very quiet and shy.
Chrissy's giving us her Terminator look with her eye blood vessel in her eye.
Hey, I just got LASIK. I can see now.
Oh, you did. I got LASIK a few years ago. I got it for my Christmas present. My parents bought my left eye, and then I paid for the right eye. I was like, that's a good Christmas present.
Yeah.
And so my mom then wanted to still like give me something to open up for Christmas, you know, because you can't. It might even if she buys you the LASIK like a month before Christmas, you still have to open up something on Christmas morning. So on Christmas morning, she got a little eyeglass case, and somehow. She found like Halloween chocolates wrapped in foil so they look like little eyeballs, like you unwrap, and she super glued them into the little glasses case. So on Christmas.
So wait, you can't even eat the candy?
So on Christmas morning, I could like open up the box and open up the eyeglasses and see, like, look, eyes, we got you LASIK. As if I somehow forgot.
It is, because I would have just like gotten a picture of like one eyeball and been like, congratulations. That's what it is.
I bought you some new eyes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people in here today, so we got to make sure, especially when we hear our headphones, if you are hearing someone else's voice talk over yours, it means what you're saying is not being said. So look for your window, be willing to pause, be willing to let somebody else talk, and grab that window if you need to.
Oh, I love rules of the radio.
Well, I just, I'd rather say it now than have to point out or call anyone out in particular, or just, you know, avoid it happening, because, you know, when there's a lot of voices on the air, it happens, and that's one of the biggest complaints is jokes get walked over. But it's a beautiful day outside today. I have some friends that are up at Wakaiva, and they are...
Oh, gosh. That's like the white trash central, like the central right there. Like,
that's why I love it.
Yeah, get that a little closer to you, your microphone.
The only people that go to Wakaiva, listeners from outside of Orlando, are like trashy Puerto Ricans
and
white people.
Then you're out of your mind. Wakaiva is not...
That's not true.
I love it there.
I guess you're not gonna...
Said all of the white people on the show right now.
No, because, listen, me and my friends, like, go to the different springs in the summer.
It's fun.
Yeah, one, it's constantly cool.
Nothing is more fun than getting in, like, 50-degree water.
You need to get on your microphone. You still sound like you're back here.
Well, because look at the microphone stand right now.
Okay, so I'm saying, so you adjust it. You've been a radio professional for a while now. You know how to get on the mic. You know how to put cylindrical. You know how to put like cylindrical, like phallic like type objects like in and around. Like, come here, work it for the video camera. Work it for the live stream. Come on, Alex.
I don't know how to make it loose.
Now he's just handling it.
Maybe move your laptop. Maybe move your laptop. I feel like it's obstructing.
I don't even think that my mic isn't even that bad.
Handle it closer. Anyways, so my point is that one time we went to Blue Springs in the middle of June, and there was, like, a group of, you know, after-school kids from the inner city, and they were all there and having a great time.
Yeah.
So it's not just us.
Well, you've been, like, canoeing and kayaking before then, right?
No, I don't believe in, like, working as extracurricular activity. No, I don't canoe.
Have you ever been canoeing or kayaking?
I was a Boy Scout.
I got my canoeing merit badge. I got my canoeing merit badge when I was in Boy Scouts, when I was an Eagle Scout.
There's a merit badge for canoeing?
Right.
Yes.
Like, you have to complete like certain things, like know about it, know the technique, know different procedures of steering and roping. Like if you lose a paddle, if you have one paddle, two paddles, you have to like show that you can orienteer a course around. So
Can you say that word for me one more time?
Yeah. Orienteer?
Yeah, there it is.
Orienteer?
Yeah, okay.
Am I saying it wrong?
No, that's not a word.
The word of the day is orienteer.
It's only a word.
It is totally a word.
No, it's not.
I'm live streaming right now, but if you want to pull it up. It's orienteer, like you're orienteering a course.
Nope.
Yes, it is. You're navigating.
It's not a word.
Does everyone have a smartphone and no one's willing to actually pull it out and
prove? Okay, I'll do it. That's fine, because it's my contention.
I mean, it's not 1997 where we just have to say things and accept them as being true or not. We can actually look up and prove if I'm saying it wrong, which there's a very good chance that I have been. I've been drinking a lot lately in my life, but you know.
Orienteer.
You're welcome.
We'll get into that. Oh, God. Bobby is a bartender and is the cause and solution to most of my great nights.
You're welcome.
Yeah, very nice. Good job. Okay, it's a
I believe I know how to spell it.
But you said it's not a word.
Phonetics.
How would you know not to
spell it? Just because you don't know what the word means doesn't mean you can use phonetics to spell it out. Reading's fundamental.
It's a fake word. I'm going to look it up right now. But I have friends that are...
Oh, that's crap.
What does it say?
It is a word.
Oh, that's crap.
What, I'm going to put the camera on myself so I can...
No, I'm done.
I'm done. For radio context, you need to define the word so I can look into the camera and smugly smile, because for once...
Oh, right, because I'm going to do something to support that. Orienteer.
What's it mean, Bobby?
Is it a noun or an adjective?
What's the language of
origin?
It's
a noun and a verb. I don't know the language of origin. Google doesn't tell me that.
Boy Scouts.
Orienteer. Orienteer.
There you go.
Noun.
I got that badge.
Stop it. Noun. A person who takes part in orienteering, which is awful. Or verb. Take part in orienteering.
Well, then look up orienteering.
Look up orienteering.
Hello? I did.
Orienteering.
I'm not adding an I.
Someone who orienteers.
Oh my God! Please.
Orienteering. God, I hate this. Is a family of sports that requires navigational skills using a map and compass to navigate from point to point in diverse and unusually unfamiliar terrain.
Yeah!
Normally moving at speed. I hate you.
You left to learn how to navigate, and Orienteer.
No, stop. No. So little kitty twinks. What that means is in the 70s when DJ was a Boy Scout.
Oh, F you, dude.
He didn't have his iPhone to help him down the river.
I didn't have Google Maps at the time. I had a real map, but I wrote Google on the top of it with my compass.
I feel like I've already passed that tree. What do I do now?
Anyway, so the whole point of me bringing up canoeing at all is I have some friends that are up there kayaking in the springs today, and he was mentioning that whoever he was kayaking with was not helping, so he was kind of frustrated that he had to end up, you know, like paddling more than his fair share. And I said, you know what? That's a real deal breaker for me. Like, if you think about it, I think whenever, like, you're in the process of either a friendship or maybe even dating someone or taking a relationship to the next level, I think that it's vital to go, or I like to call them divorce boats, because I think canoeing with someone is the best way to tell how you would get along with this person, your teamwork, your communication, like, are we going to work together? Are you going to hit me with the paddle?
How do you
react when it accidentally steers into a bunch of trees or you get cobwebs in your face? Like, a canoe or a kayak could make or break a relationship. I've seen more than one couple, gay, straight, or otherwise, that has, like, broken after the camping trip. Do you acknowledge that?
Yes, and I have a story about that. I remember one time we took a family trip down on to old Virginia. And when we were there, we actually...
Old vagina.
Can you just say that for me one more time?
Awful! Old Virginia. Anyway...
It's a drinking game.
We were kayaking, not canoeing, but kayaking down a river which was unusually low, which made it unusually hard to maneuver down that river.
I hate when it's low. And
anyways, hard. My little brother decided he would go ahead and taunt me from his kayak, and me being the angsty teen
You said you were an only child last week.
I have a half brother. He is the product of my estranged dad and my stepmom.
Okay.
So you're half an only child?
I'm glad that he explained. I just stared at him because I thought he was going to keep talking. He had to feel the need to explain it to me.
Well, I lived with my mom the entire life, and on that side of the family, I'm an only child. So like I said, he's the product of my estranged father and stepmother. So
product of.
So anyways, he decided to be a cool idea, like, taunt me from his kayak. So I went ahead, jumped off my kayak, swam to his kayak, and beat him with a paddle.
Okay.
And that was the good old family kayak down in old Virginia.
Nice.
So coming back to your question,
yeah,
I'm not sure what this means in this context, but whenever I do anything in a boat, all I can do is go around in a circle. So what does that mean for me?
So you're just paddling. It means that you're not willing to work. Like, you're only working the left side. Like, sometimes you have to be versatile. You have to paddle on the right. You have to paddle on the left. You need to be. Are you in the front of the canoe or the back of the canoe? Because that makes a big difference. Because if you're in the back of the canoe, this is, you know, the little Boy Scout Merit Badge Canoe 101. If you are steering the canoe, believe it or not, you're in the back of the canoe. You're in the back. You're steering where the boat goes. And if you're in the front, you're the one kind of providing the powering. So you kind of have to take your lead from the person in the back, because they see where you're headed before you know you're headed there.
We're legitimately
cool. You got a merit badge about it, y'all.
I am the front of the canoe.
There you go.
Yours was better.
Does it really surprise you that Justice got merit badges?
Oh my.
I had more merit badges than anybody in my troop.
Yeah, I bet you were that kid too.
I got all the merit badges. Look at me.
Well, I mean, one of my goals is to boom, snap, clap it in a canoe in the water. But that's like a logistical issue, because it depends. Like, are they taller than me? Are they shorter than me? Like, we have to balance the weight center. It's deciding, like, what position that would be, you know, feasible in to, like, you know.
Wait, you haven't done that yet?
I was about to say, I've done that in Boy Scouts.
I didn't do it in Boy Scouts, but that's how I lost my virginity. Like, was in
was in a boat?
Oh, no, it's just in a pool.
Camp counselor named Bob.
It was in a water. No.
I have not done it in a pool yet. Couldn't you just believe it? Or not believe it?
I know some places you can go.
I'm done.
Next.
When you're feeling sad and blue, take a trip to Club Orlando.
Oh, I thought you were going to say do it in a canoe. Anyway, let's do...
No, wait. Yes, sir. Just divorce canoes?
Divorce like, boats.
That's awful.
No, think about it. Like, if you really want to see how you would deal with someone that in, like, a high-stress situation where you have to rely on someone, if they mess up, like, and you get shoved into a tree or, like, a possum falls on your face or something like that, like, you have to be aware of the consequences. So are you going to work together? Or are you going to be like, I hate you, I'm putting my paddle down, and I'm not working anymore, and I hate you, and get me out of this damn boat?
One of the most awful things that I find about that is that I can't disagree with you, because there's a really famous quote by Bill Murray where he says, like, if you, like, want to get married with someone, travel with them. And if you still, like, want to get married after you travel with them, then it's a good idea. So I just hate that you're right.
Well, but even you admit that traveling is different than camping or canoeing. Because you and I could go on a trip to Paris and be in a nice pampered hotel and be fine and be distracted and the drinks are affluent. And that could be fine. You and I could go camping and one of us is going to accidentally fall / be pushed off a mountain. And because that just, you know, that's like a different set of conditions there. Like, I can't be distracted by, you know, my iPhone or my Wi-Fi or, you know, so.
I'd rather get baguettes and champagne and get on a moped or something.
Let's do the three. A lot of stuff happened this week, and we'll talk about it now. We're talking about the three things I learned this week. Three things that Justice learned this week. The three things he learned this week. Not one or two or four.
It's the three things you learned this week. The
latest kayak. Stop! Go away, Bear!
Stop it, Bear! Get with my kayak!
There, grizzly bear.
Go away, Bear! It's September! Why are you here? You should be sleeping! Go away, Bear! Leave my kayak alone, Bear! Why are you messing with my kayak? Why?
I would love to see that audio dubbed over a real live video, but instead of an actual bear, just get like a big old fat guy, like a gay bear, and just show video of like some old like burly bear like messing with someone's kayak, and then play that audio, and it's just some like it's like Pat from Bears in the City, just like, you know, like tickling the kayak and getting in and out of it.
Get out of my kayak, bear!
Come on, you don't think that'd be a funny spinoff of that video? They've made tons of spinoff videos from that. Damn, Daniel, like that would be just as viral.
Yeah,
you just... I hate you sometimes. I hate you. You are a jerk. No, don't snap your hands like that. You're a bad person. You are a content ruiner. You're a sniper.
He's a what ruiner?
He's a content ruiner.
Oh.
Yeah, keep talking dirty to me. It's working.
I love you. Okay, one of the things I need to do really quick, when we have a new guest on, sometimes I'm so quick to jump back into things. How have you been lately, Chrissy Mystery? We haven't had you on the show in a while. What's going on with you? How are things? Are you still doing drag? I know you're I know you're single now. You've always been in a relationship the other times in the show, so I didn't really hit on you that much. But so how are things going?
You didn't hit on me?
That was me trying not to, because your fiance was usually here.
Fair enough. No, I did just end my 3-year relationship, so yay! He's gone.
Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead.
It sounds like we're not holding back. So are you still living together? Or
no.
You're not. Okay, now, without going into too many details, because we don't want to speak ill of anyone who's not here to defend themselves.
Oh, no, go into details. This is the shade.
I'm going to have another strawberry.
Generally, like, kind of what was the reason that this happened or that it ended? Because, you know, you announced your engagement here on the show, so I was kind of wondering what happened there.
When you've got people that have anxiety problems and they can't tend to manage it and then they just move on and on and on and further with their anxiety, it tends to get a little bit stressful in the relationship.
I understand. You know what? Everyone's got to be in a good position with themselves, and it's not on necessarily the person, you know, it's not on you to fix or to demand that the person you're dating, you know, work on things or change things, and some things are a lot harder to change than you think, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
That was the worst.
What?
I've been watching a lot of Law & Order SVU.
I love SVU, babe.
So I wanted that to be, like, a whole lot worse than it actually was.
Oh, like the story.
Yeah, I was ready for
like
it.
Like he said, we can't get into it on the air.
Now you know the old Justice would have been like, spill all the trash, like, we got him on the line right now, let's make a game out of it. Like, but no, like, I respect where that's coming from. You know what, I want to make sure everyone goes and checks out gayradioshow.com. We have up an interview from this past weekend at the White Party at the world famous Parliament House, and thanks to all the folks over there, the folks over at Logo as well, we were able to get our White Party interview with current season queens from RuPaul's Drag Race. So from season 8 RuPaul's Drag Race, we were able to interview Thorgy Thor, Naomi Smalls, and Robbie Turner, and it was a really fun interview. Alex was there with me, mm-hmm. helping out, and so if you want to hear that interview, now it's the whole point is to have you go check it out, like on our Twitter, or check it out on gayradioshow.com. The podcast is up there. It's, you know, it's about 30 minutes long. It's uncensored. It's drunk with drag queens still done up at 2:30 a.m. in the dressing room. It's a really good interview, and it's fun, and it's something we get to do every year, and I want you to check it out. We'll talk more about that. So for the first thing I learned this week was obviously it was the White Party at the world famous Parliament House. And Bobby, as a bartender at the world famous Parliament House, you know, like, do you ever miss your weekends and going out, or do you get enough of a, I mean, or is it, when you're at work, is it work, or do you feel like you're out, or does going out to a club feel differently to you now?
I started working in clubs because it was my favorite thing to do.
And now he hates it.
No, I don't hate it, but it is actually work. Like, you know, when I'm there, and sometimes, like, my friends come out and they forget that that's still my job. You know, I still have to do stuff. Like, if you get wild and crazy and they're like, oh, stop what you're doing and help that person, it's like, girl, I'm still at work. Like, I'm still here making money, you know? That was a fully loaded question.
No, actually not. I just try to look for opportunities to have you talk.
I mean. I don't normally miss my weekends. However, like, when someone, like, has a house party or something like that, like, that's what I miss, is being able to, like, go and hang out with my friends.
Right.
And stuff like that. Do I still like going out to clubs? Yes. But in other cities where no one knows me.
I understand. That's a pretty fun thing to do. But then I feel a little bit lonely that I'm not getting, like, the attention or the validation I want, and I come running back to Orlando.
No, it's just, like, I love to dance. Are you done waving at yourself now?
No, I was saying hi. I was trying to not interrupt you and say hi to all of our Facebook streamers. Hi, everyone on Facebook live streaming. You're on the radio show right
all
now.
All 12 of you.
Well, there's like 25, 30 people.
There's actually, you'd be surprised just because of, you know, people come up to me and they're like, mm-hmm. oh my God, the radio. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do this is the number one gay radio show and podcast in the state of Florida and in the Southeast United States. I mean, we're good at what we do. And so the fact that we can now avail ourselves to a different audience through the number of people on Facebook that get notified. They get directly notified on Facebook, whether they follow your feed or not, if we're doing a live stream, because Facebook wants to promote that feature. I mean, mm-hmm. so in terms of the number of people that listen to the show and listen to the podcast, it's always been a higher on the back end from the podcast, from the people that subscribe, that listen to it all over the country, all over the world. This is definitely putting a spike in the live time, you know, so talk about pressure. You know, there's no way to edit things that are said or viewed now. Like, this is on the record. So, you know, I guess we better not suck.
Yeah.
Cool story.
Uh-huh.
So I like to go out and dance.
Bobby will be your private dancer.
And right. One of my absolute favorite times was I was in Denver in the past year. And I was just there and, like, no one knew me. So it was cool. Like, I got to, like, go out and just, like, feel myself and, like, get my groove on and stuff like that without, like, people, like, coming up and, you know, interrupting
right.
like, while you're trying to do all that, which is fun because I also saw the headboard guy, which was really weird. Oh, so someone did know me. Never mind.
I mean, I've definitely concluded that that's kind of, it's not a, I don't want to say like deal breaker, but it's one thing that I'm very hesitant to do is, especially if I start meeting someone or talking to someone, I never want to take a date out and about to a club because I fall into social DJ Justice, flitter around like a butterfly, you know, trying to talk to everyone. And I end up inadvertently either ignoring who I brought or having to explain too many things or having to explain who I pissed off or, you know, that's this person that this happened with or that. And it just kind of, and it becomes more like a chore. So I prefer to go to another city where if I'm going, I could have fun with that person and then, you know, not have to worry.
Ah, my ear.
Doesn't sound much louder.
It did.
I'm Bobby, and I've never heard a burp before.
No, he's allowed to listen. He's allowed to react to it. It's kind of. Why do you think I do it?
I'll cut you.
Why do you think I do it?
No. Do you know what I found really weird?
Is this still about White Party?
No.
Okay.
Matt Groin. the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama?
Groaning.
Groaning.
Whatever. I don't know how to say words.
It's actually pronounced groan.
I don't care.
Like he got kicked in the groan.
He obviously likes burps as much as you do, because there was like some marathon on where I was like, legitimately, there are at least 10 characters who burp between those two shows on a regular basis. Like, it's awful.
Have you ever done the Homer Simpson? This is how totes mask I used to be. When my ex and his ROTC brothers in college, we would be dating and hanging out. We used to do the Homer Simpson's Power Hour, where you'd play this program, and it's like Homer Simpson clips, or it's like just random music clips for 60 seconds. And then every 60 seconds, Homer Simpson burps, and you're supposed to like take a drink or do a shot. And that's how you do like the 60 drinks in a minute Power Hour.
I play a game like that with my mom about SVU, except it's a lot darker than that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Oh God, I can't. I like him. Where did we find him?
He's bastard.
He's a what?
I said he's little bastard. He's proxy little brother. He's basically little brother to me at this point. Like okay. If I ever have frustration, I can just shove Legos up his nose and just kind of smack him around, because my little brother doesn't live here anymore. So he's kind of like, he's filled like that. I'm not going to repeat what I was going to say. I'm glad he's here.
Oh God.
So how did you meet him?
That doesn't explain any of that.
Alex and I have known each other a couple years.
We met at the library.
We met on Grindr.
Craigslist?
We met on Grindr.
Craigslist.
And then decided to meet at the library.
I'm classier than Craigslist.
And then
okay.
We hung out and we watched episodes of Portlandia.
Yeah.
And then he went to college. And then he came back.
Wait. How young were you when he met you?
I was, barely legal.
He had just turned 18, I think.
Yeah. Oh, but Justice isn't a twink slayer. Don't worry.
He's not a twink.
Well, this was also pre-cancer DJ, so he was a lot morally... he was a lot morally inhumane of a character.
Oh! You see, DJ Justice. Oh, God.
Oh, no. I do like him.
The post-cancer morality?
You've got cancer jokes. I like it.
So, white party.
So, how about that white party?
Yo, so the white party was great. We got to go this Friday night. And, you know, I will be honest. I've admitted before in the air, you know, that I'm going through some changes where I'm trying to find, you know, what my next thing is, kind of find the things that drive me. And I love the radio show. The radio show will always be a part of my life. But, you know, like, I got into this weekend not being as excited as I normally have been to get to interview RuPaul's Drag Race queens. You know, so not excited that I only got the interview approved maybe a day or two before it happened. And then, you know, the night that it's there, it's probably, you know, what time was it? Maybe 10 or 10:30, and Alex shows up at the house, and I still hadn't gotten dressed. I hadn't written questions yet. I kind of was very apathetic about it.
Yeah. You seemed almost slumped about it.
I was a little bit. So I want to thank.
We also did have a really crazy night, like the night prior.
What?
When we went to Southern Nights.
We went to Southern? Oh, yeah. You were there.
Oh. Yeah, it was a good night then.
That doesn't all.
Does this mean I'm getting old where it's like now it's starting to, like, when I go out four nights in a row, I'm starting to be like old man Justice where I can't remember. I'm tired the next day. I'm cranky. You know, my liver's mad at me.
Nah. You realize if you had said that when Rob Ward was here, he just would have let you have it.
Mm-hmm. It's not my fault. So we got the interview Friday night, and, you know, they break up the RuPaul's Drag Race Queen. So it was Robbie Turner was in town, but not performing. But then the performers that night were...
Thorgy and Naomi.
Thorgy Thor and Naomi Smalls. And so we managed to get the interview. And then we met Robbie Turner in passing. Yeah. He was just kind of there just as a boy hanging out.
And we just vibed.
Yeah, he had a really cool vibe. A lot cuter in person. Bobby had some opinions about me interacting with Robbie Turner. What did you have to say?
Oh, you found... Never mind.
You showed up with him on Sunday. I didn't have to say anything. It's like an entire weekend.
He was there for the entire weekend.
But
we
he
became
was really
friends.
Cool, though.
We were chilling, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The microphone's totally blocking you eating that strawberry. The live streamers, the live streamers are asking you to eat the...
Eat that strawberry.
So it was a good interview. I felt it was one of my more laid-back interviews. Did you get a chance to listen to it?
What? No.
You didn't get a chance to listen to the interview?
No, I'm just saying I know your history with some of the RuPaul's girls, so that's why I thought it was funny.
I think that we couldn't have picked a better group of girls to interview because just, like, the dynamic and how much they were able to contribute and how they sort of bolstered each other's conversations.
Right.
Like, I think it was an extremely dynamic interview that couldn't have been matched if we would have interviewed, like, I feel like any other sort of group of girls.
And you know what? The group, I'm glad you mentioned the group thing, because that's something I learned a long time ago, is I'd always rather interview two queens or three queens rather than one. Yet one queen, they're unsure about the interviewer. It's very much a back and forth. You don't really get to vibe and have the conversation kind of steer itself. When you have more than one, they know each other. They're friends with each other. They have a good chemistry with each other. And that's when you can get some of the great stuff, especially when you're still in drag at 2:30 a.m., drunk, in the dressing room. So we had a really fun time. So I want everyone to check out that that interview up there. My back was massaged and my ego was completely rubbed. Some of the queens took a liking to old DJ Justice.
Oh, you just winked. Oh, oh, awful.
I'm actually watching the live stream from my
phone. That's like a Google black hole right there. I don't like that.
It's just an infinite, like, I'm watching you, watching me, watching us. You know, it's
I can't. Weird.
Now I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it. I think I could have bagged all three of them queens.
What do you think? I'm done.
God, I'm done. Oh, nope, my nope, God. Nope. It's just like... DJ will give attention to anyone who slightly will stroke his ego, so they'll...
His ego.
It was unwarranted. I asked a question.
It was sort of unwarranted.
I asked the question, I said, hey, what's your type, during the interview, and then it became all about me and one of your Drag Race queens and the thing she wanted to do and this, that, and the other.
She was being a little naughty, okay?
Yeah, that's so weird. How you turned it to sex and then all of a sudden that's where it led.
No, but that's the thing though. It was completely unwarranted. Like, here DJ is actually being a classy broad.
Like, I didn't go into it with a mission this year like I did in season four.
No, let's. Ooh,
nope. I remember those stories.
I can't
stories.
Say any of those words.
We were in the presence of a lady, okay? Miss Stevens was untucking backstage.
There it is. Let's not beat around the bush. Sorry, there was like four different phrases that I realized I couldn't say on the air. I'm gonna kill myself for saying this, but it's fine.
Why are you mad?
He is legitimately an attractive person.
And is it making you angry that people might find me charming or attractive?
No.
I mean, you don't think so because you know me and you've seen all the despicable things that I've done, but that doesn't mean that people that I make a hell of a good first impression.
That's not the problem
it's
that I
have.
It's
just the second or the third one that I kind of just put my foot in my mouth and act like a damn fool.
No, the problem that I have is that we're going to go like, oh, I sort of turned into sex, but I don't know why it led that way. I'm really having a hard time not cussing when
Try
I want to do this.
Please.
No, I'm not going
Try
to.
Try not to.
No, but like, okay, so we're just... You're legitimately an attractive person. So when you meet other people and... God, I'm gonna hate myself for saying this too. And you can be very charming. So when you're on and, like, you just sort of start to lead it there, like, you don't get to go, like, oh, I'm so surprised that it went there. Like, oh, they wanted to have sex with me. Blah, 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 blah. Like, no, you actually legitimately did that. Like, you knew what you were doing and you did it. Like, you're not allowed to say, like, oh, I'm so surprised
that
it went there.
I didn't know.
How long do you plan these tirades for?
I don't.
That's why they're great. Bobby, I didn't know the conversation was going to go there.
No, you can't say that because not like a month ago we were on. It was me and Rob Ward and you, and you sat there. What? Why are you pointing at me?
I'm asking you to move the bottle of water. The bottle of water is blocking your face.
I don't care. Like, legitimately, we sat here and had a conversation.
Bobby's really mad that drag queens are hitting on me.
No, I'm not mad that they were hitting on you. I'm upset because you have sat here and said, like, oh, I plan all of these phrases to, like, help hit on people. And then you're going to sit there as a person and say, like, oh, I didn't know that's what was going to happen. Like, no.
I'm not
allowing you to do it.
So...
To make 15 minutes short, he thinks you're a cold, calculating S of a B.
So more or less, it's almost
calculating,
like...
Calculating, yes, but not cold or an S of a B.
So more or less, you're saying that rather than me just talk about myself and talk about what happened to me, all I had to do was say a few select phrases, and then I let other people talk and tell the story for me and more or less hype me up.
You're awful! You're awful! You're so awful!
Can you put, like, reverb when you do the podcast?
Bobby, I was just talking about the interview and what had happened and how I got to meet three really great entertaining queens. How I got to really connect with them and have a fun time.
Yep.
And I guess it just, I guess this just went somewhere else. I wasn't really thinking that.
No, stop. I'm done. Move on. I'm over it.
So we had a great interview, y'all.
I...
Oh my God, you led me right there. You're the worst.
What
you are literally is the worst.
Oh, can we move on?
Yes.
So Saturday night, I went back to the party. And you know what? I don't ever want to talk disparagingly on the air just because you never know when you want to burn bridges. But we were originally supposed to have an interview lined up also with Acid Betty and Kim Chi the very next night. And I decided pretty quickly after trying to interact with this particular drag personality that I just didn't think it was going to be a good vibe or necessarily a good fit. So I kind of I figured that we got a great interview with Thorgy and Naomi and with Robbie Turner. That I wanted to just kind of leave it there. So I just kind of left my microphone at home on Saturday night and just went out for myself. And, you know, and I guess it was further corroborated by everyone else that we met just said that she just is just not necessarily the most pleasant person, either behind the scenes or, you know, in her drag persona, you know, just and I guess, you know what, I think I'm trying to be a more positive person. What are you making that face for?
And how did you have to have that corroborated by anybody?
Because just like I try not to have people judge me based on what they only hear in the radio show, I don't think it's fair to only judge someone based on how they come off on a television show, because you never know. So, but when it comes from people that I know that have worked with this individual and from other people that I've interviewed that I have respect for, that's when I kind of form that opinion. What, you think I should have done the interview? Do you think I should have done it?
Well, no, actually, you want to know something really funny?
Because I didn't want to sleep with that one.
Is that, okay.
Oh! There it is!
So
he's honest.
Right.
I've actually been, like, I have this platonic pen pal in New York City who is actually, he does his own, like, promoting in the Brooklyn scene. And he had seen that we were doing the interviews and they were there and whatever. So I was messaging him, like, oh, such and such drag queen is such a C word.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, she can kind of really be like that. But if you really get to know her, there's a heart in there. So I mean,
there's a heart in everyone, but you get one chance to make a first impression. And I've said it before, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And I've talked openly about, you know, even in my, you know, radio career, that when I used to care so much about what I felt and not about how other people's feelings were affected, that burned bridges. That establishes you as being the douchebag. And you can, you know, and you can't take back how you make someone feel. And if that's how this person is carrying themselves now that they're thrust into the public limelight, then, you know, they have to understand those consequences.
I mean, yeah, true, but on the other side of the coin, and like we had discussed with Robbie Turner, I don't know if it was on there or off the air, these are girls that have to travel around the country and have a million artificial interactions with people. So just because I feel like she wasn't so warm and inviting upon like first meeting her, like I can understand that, because in a way, I can sort of see myself being like that if I was just immediately thrusted into fame.
Well,
like,
you didn't hear her try to sing live on Saturday, because that was...
Oh, did she really?
I was like, this must be awkward for you. No, baby.
Shade.
Yeah, we're like zipping. We're zipping by our time here really quick, because we didn't even get yet to the AIDS walk. Thank you for the people that donated to our team for One Gay Radio Show for the AIDS walk. You know what? Next year, I will try and remember about a month in advance when the AIDS walk is, instead of 2 weeks. But we want to thank you for people that donated money. And if you still want to do that at AIDSWalkOrlando.org, you can go donate to a team number one gay radio show, and you can donate to the AIDS walk benefiting Hope and Help of Central Florida. But, you know, hey, Bobby, enough about me.
Wow, what a great segue. No, don't play the music.
You don't want
to
play the music?
No, if you're going to ask me to tell a story, because that has a different beat than what's in my head.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we can pick whatever music you... Would you like to pick your own music?
No, I don't. What is that?
That was your music.
What if I play the music to introduce your bit, then I turn the music off?
No.
Okay, well then, with no music or introduction whatsoever... It's time for story time with Bob. And again, that microphone's blocking your face.
Hi. Okay, so you asked me for an interesting story. So I went to Mardi Gras in New Orleans last year. And this is about the time I met a zombie. And it was... What?
Keep talking.
Not on the microphone, dude.
Keep talking.
Got me effed up.
Those might... Oh, noises. No, not particularly. Anyways, so we're on... whatever street that lots of people drink on and all of that stuff. And I'm with my three girlfriends.
Bourbon Street?
There, that one. Oh, that makes more sense. But so we're there and like my friend Sharon, like, we're always, like, trying to get her to, like, do things and, you know, make out with people and stuff like that. Well, all of a sudden, there was this guy who came up, and we were like, oh, he's kind of drunk. And we're like, Sharon, make out with him. And we, like, pushed her into him. And then he tried to eat her face. And we were like, no, Sharon, run away. Like, this is awful. So we ran into, like, the closest bar, and, like, this guy who was totally dead behind the eyes, like, the only thing going were his automatic functions.
You can just tell from the eyes. Like,
the lights were on, but no one was home.
Yeah, right. There was no one there. Like, he was just a zombie. Like, so he stumbles after us, and it was a two-story bar. So we, like, run up the stairs, and then
sounds like a Scooby-Doo chase.
Right, yeah, it was. And then I found out that zombies can't climb stairs. Because no, because he was a zombie. So, like, he, like, tried following us up the stairs and, like, face planted on the first platform and then legitimately, like, hand over fist crawled up to the second story to try and get us. And, like,
whenever a monster in a wheelchair chases me, I just go up a flight of stairs or, like, a really steep hill.
I'll have what that zombie's having.
This happened?
That would make sense if he's
wheelchair.
Monsters in a wheelchair.
There was no wheelchair.
I'm just saying, if you ever get chased by a monster in a wheelchair.
He was making a redundant statement.
Department of Redundancy Department. That's where I'm gainfully employed. Go.
The department.
But anyways, so, like, we hid in, like, a group of people, and, like, he couldn't smell us anymore.
He couldn't smell.
Because I figure that's
lost their scent.
Yeah, that's the only way that he was, like, actually getting there.
Let me do another bump real quick.
So he, like, went down and then, like, started playing with a stripper and
he,
like,
totally
got kicked out of the bar. No, it was a guy stripper, which made us all, like, so apparently not only zombies can't climb stairs, but they're also bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
So good to know.
Yeah. Are you having trouble hearing yourself in the headphones as well? I feel like you're really distant from your microphone.
No, I can't hear myself at all.
Okay, can you hear yourself now?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let me talk.
There you are.
I don't know what...
I'm just trying not to over-modulate you. Okay, I think you're good now. So, story time with Bob, how you defeated a zombie.
Just when I met a zombie.
Very nice. Speaking of... I was going to say, speaking of monsters in a wheelchair, but then I realized that was a horrible segue, because the third thing I learned this week was after the AIDS walk on Saturday morning, we went to go support a friend of ours named Chris.
It was so much fun.
And Chris was actually spearheading. It's a group called The Clash, and it's handy capable people in specially designed wheelchairs playing, like, wheelchair rugby in a gymnasium. So we went there.
Stop. They're not specially designed. They're athletic wheelchairs. It's been a thing for a while. It's not like they just made it up.
No, I know what athletic wheelchairs are. When I say specially designed for this game, they take athletic wheelchairs, but they add extra reinforcement to, like, have the wheels work a certain way to cover the spokes. And they specifically said this wheelchair has been designed for this sport.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Piece of crap. So we went there, and this was a fundraiser for this whole league that they're in. Now, this was a fundraiser to let able-bodied people try to play the game as if, you know, they were in the wheelchair. And so it was really cool to kind of see that organization, and we got to talk to the people and hear how, like, the stats were broken down, because I wanted to know, hey, you know, if does everyone have the same level of athletic skill with working the wheelchair? And there's, like, a point system. We're saying, hey, some people may be a 0.5 or a 1 when it comes to their physical abilities, and then some people may be a 2 or 3 based on, you know, their ability to maybe move their hands or have upper body strength, and so they kind of break it. So, but it was cool to just go and do something different, and I guess I'm kind of craving that now at this point in my life. You know, I mean, my life for 6 or 7 years has been going out, gay clubs, hookups, drag queens, like that's been it. And so in a way I feel like I'm ready to complete, like, I planted flowers the other day. I planted flower seeds in my backyard. You want to know that?
What is this justice? I don't know who you are anymore.
This is well-rounded justice, trying to, like, have enough of a life outside of the radio show and the club to be appealing to someone else and say, hey, maybe if someone else has room in their life for me, maybe we can do some things together.
He don't give no shade. He don't give no tea. It's justice and post-cancer morality.
No, I'm done.
What?
How long you been working on that one? How long you been working on that one?
I actually challenged myself to see how fast I could create a little jingle for that that wholesome story you just.
It's
replaying in my head.
I think that's pretty much going to be the intro to the show. isolate that audio and add some music to it?
Please do.
Can we auto-tune
oh
that?
Oh my god, that's what you should have the Orlando Gay Chorus do. Oh my god.
The chorus?
The Orlando Gay Chorus?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, that brings me so much joy.
Yeah, Alex, do you want to help out? You have to do some gay news this hour, otherwise we're not like a valid educational show, so Alex is going to help
out. He don't give no shade, no tea. It's justice with post-cancer morality.
Right, like...
It's so asymmetrical.
No,
okay,
I'm
so
dead.
So coming up, we have Alex's surf news from the co-op.
Hey guys, so I can't even hear myself. Oh, now I can. So this is something that I've been following since it's been like in production because I am like obsessed with like, I guess like people who have been in the public eye absolutely having like psychotic breakdowns and doing crazy stuff. So
leave Britney alone.
I don't know if it was last weekend or next weekend. It's going to, at the Tribeca Film Festival in Manhattan, James Franco is debuting the movie that he made about the Viper Boys, which James Franco is playing Keegan Allen, and what's the other kid?
Kegel exercises.
The other kid is playing Brent Corrigan. And they were actually, and one
you
of,
have no idea who that is, do you?
I don't know who that is at all. I have no interest in anyone by that name.
They're both
they're
both adult film stars who were sort of connected to the murder of a producer, the rival producer. So that movie is actually going to be debuting. They actually just released a clip from the film where it's like the Viper Boys and they're like working out and like James Franco's calling the kid like Pig Boy, and it's like, it's so like, oof, it's like...
You've legitimately never seen any one of his videos?
I mean, I've seen a couple of his videos.
He probably like... but the thing is, the type that Alex normally goes for, like, he probably knows who Brent Corrigan is, but he's probably never sought him out thinking, wow, that's really hot, break me off a piece of that, because that's...
That's not my type.
Not so much.
I don't like sort of like mid-twink, you know what I'm saying?
Mid-twink? What does that mean?
Mid-twink is like mid-20s twink. It's not like I'm fresh off the boat twink, but it's still...
Fresh off the boat twink is something totally different.
Yeah. You were just, you're serving it today. Like,
it's because he has a vest and a tie and a suit and a jacket on, and the man bun is tight.
So the story isn't over. So recently, Brent Corrigan has actually said that he is actually extremely disappointed that James Franco's movie has essentially bastardized his life. So that in his book, it's like almost like the O.J. Simpson thing, like, if I really did it. Like, it's he's going to be sort of, like, setting the record straight.
Wait. I didn't think Brent Corrigan was accused of taking part in the murder. The reason he was involved in the storyline at all was because...
He was part of Viper Boys.
It was because he had done some films while he was still underage. It was kind of like, hey, people were lusting after this good-looking guy and then found, uh-oh, controversy, he's not of age. And therefore, you know, we need to, like, pull those videos. So it was then kind of like, who has them? And then that kind of added notoriety to what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So Corrigan has given the film a negative review. He says, it's made, and it's not about me. It's Hollywood's attempt at bastardizing my early years in porn. These filmmakers didn't care about anyone but their take on it all. And he
no
said,
offense, I don't really care what Brent Corrigan has to say about anything. Like, I mean...
It doesn't matter what A-list.
I've hooked up with someone that's done things in a video with Brent Corrigan, so it's kind of like I'm 1 degree separated from banging him myself, and I don't care.
Because there's the 1 degree of separation.
Huh?
That's because you got the 1 degree of separation.
Exactly. I'm 1 degree separated from just, like, hanging out with Brent Corrigan, spread eagle.
Yeah. The film has, like, I think acquired an NC-17 rating because Franco made sure that he wanted to be extremely raw. He said that every single one of the characters took their role and took it to the extreme as, like, hard as they can.
So they really pushed it.
Franco wanted something about Brent Corrigan to be extremely raw. Irony! Weird.
So, as we do, on to the next one.
I'm a Dave Franco fan myself.
So, an Ohio couple has gone saying that someone RSVP'd to their... They sent out the invitation to their wedding. Someone RSVP'd, like, completely sending them an entire anti-gay rant. I'm going to read you the letter right now.
Why would you invite someone to your wedding that you think might even have the possibility of sending you back
They don't even know who it could have been. So the letter said, "Hello, Keith Allen and Chad Michael." Just wanted to let you both know you have sent an invitation to the wrong people. You thought we supported you as a couple? Well, boys, you were so wrong. Your invitations were forwarded to an anti-gay group in Canton Akron area. They will be attending your wedding. Protesters will be there. It's not normal for two men to marry. What is wrong with you? It's a sin. Some of your friends are only coming to your so-called wedding to help in the protests. Like it or not, this is not going to happen. This day is going to be ruined for you. This is going to be a fun show to watch. You both are going to get what you deserve. See you at the anti-gay show.
And the award for best supporting actor goes to...
They said, as a retort.
Now we're just gonna go back to like straight voice. Like we're just gonna pretend like that didn't happen. Okay, keep going.
It's something we waited.
I'm lightheaded from holding in everything during that. I'm legitimately lightheaded right now.
We honestly never thought we'd be able to do it. He said, showing off the painted decorations and handmade gifts, and even a handmade cake stand they created for the occasion. Never even crossed my mind. I never even thought about canceling, and quite frankly, other than our initial shock of the letter, this made us both want to do it more, Keith said.
Handmade cake stand.
It's so, a drag queen. Thank you very much.
Did you have any more? I had a news story that I wanted to pull up. Could I add this in?
Yeah, one you were supposed to send to me that you didn't. So go ahead.
You know what? I don't know if that's a legitimate news story. The one he's talking about is there was a guy that got a cake. Okay, a gay man that's a pastor that got a cake from Whole Foods that said on the cake, "Love wins." And then in the middle of the cake, it says in blue frosting, "The F word for gays." So he made a video alleging that the people at Whole Foods made a cake that said a disparaging anti-gay remark on it. He makes a big deal how the cake hasn't been opened. But when you look at the frosting of the word is very, very different than the frosting of the other words. And it goes, so they said they're going to file a lawsuit. They had a press conference, but now upon more investigation, I don't know. To me, it looks like, it does not seem to me that Whole Foods did this. Because right. The guy that designed the cake... The guy that actually like designed that particular cake happens to be gay himself. He's a member of the LGBT, and so I mean, and the frosting was different. People, the gay, lesbian, bacon, lettuce, tomato. There's too many letters to keep track of. I can't do that.
Alphabet soup.
Honestly, like to me, it's phony because like I feel like the chances of a company like Whole Foods doing some sort of anti-gay thing like that is as high as the chances of like Harvey Milk walking around saying no fats, no femmes.
Here's the other.
There's so many things wrong with what you just said.
Harvey Milk was my
and that's shock radio for you.
Oh yeah.
Alex, here's the part of it that's the most disturbing. He got this cake, he took it from the bakery, he checked out with it, he paid for it, he got home, and then ooh, surprise, look at this word, this F word for gays that's sprayed on my cake. The cake has an opening. It's a transparent top. So you're telling me that he didn't look down and look at the cake or notice the cake or say anything about the cake or bring anything about the cake to the people's attention while he was at the store, while he was still near the bakery. You're saying that he never looked at and read the cake, which has a clear top that you can visibly see the entire cake. He didn't do that until he got home and then filmed the video.
Harvey Milk saying no fats, no fats. He's still on it.
You know what? I'm writing a book, and it's actually going into the real life and times of Harvey Milk, and it's called Harvey Milk Original Twink Slayer.
Oh yeah.
Harvey Milk is the Twink Slayer. He's the grandfather of Twink Slaying. He is, dude. Harvey Milk was a rice queen. Harvey Milk loved the Twinks. Harvey Milk really liked paraplegic overweight Asians. That's a little known fact. Bobby, you ever heard that?
I can't.
Can you just put that phrase Shock together radio. For me one more time?
No, I'm good. I forgot to mention this. Yeah, you did. It's can I have some of your water? It's it was 4:20. That means it's you know what that means. Time to take your Truvada.
Every attempt getting more and more half-assed. It is almost the end of the show, and he's taking it.
The
Truvada.
The alarm didn't go off because we were live streaming. So anyway, if you're not familiar with Truvada or PrEP, talk to your doctor or healthcare provider. Find out about it. It's a good way to know how to protect yourself, know your status, get tested, and it's just really fun.
He don't give no shade. He don't give no tea.
No,
it's justice with post-cancer morality.
If y'all keep painting me into a corner where I'm supposed to be some kind of good
person, nobody puts baby in a corner.
I'm gonna have to work extra hard to throw some dirty on it if y'all are gonna try and clean up my reputation. I don't think I deal well with that.
I don't even want to know what that phrase might
entail. Honey, like I always say, I always bring it.
You never like to throw some dirty on it. Like you met someone that's too good, too clean. You just gotta throw a little dirty on them.
Stop.
Just like swipe, like smear it on them. Smear a little dirty. A
little dirty Sanchez.
What? No.
What?
And wrapping up the show.
Next!
Bobby, I love you. I miss you. I'm glad that you're back with us here. The other story that I pulled, this is coming out of North Carolina, where, you know, they still have not yet really responded or reacted to their the anti-LGBTQ discrimination law that was passed and how that's affecting business, jobs, people pulling out of the state, you know, job opportunities leaving the state. And so now the atmosphere is growing more and more hostile. Now that LGBTQ discrimination is officially legal in the Tar Heel state, anti-gay terrorists have decided to kick things up a notch by burning rainbow flags outside of gay-friendly churches. So this is in response to Governor Pat McCrory signing House Bill number 2 last month that legalized hate and discrimination against gay people in North Carolina. And the United Church of Christ in Hillsborough raised 2 gay flags as a show of solidarity for the gay community, because that's a church that's open and says, hey, you know, God loves everyone and even gay people, and this is a church where you can love God and, you know, not be persecuted or you know, kicked out because of your sexual orientation. And so the church has been, over the weekend, someone ripped down the flag, someone set them on fire, leaving the charred remains strewn across the church lawn. I don't know. I mean, we still live in a world where this stuff is happening. And, I mean, dude, I'm not planning any trips to North Carolina anytime soon.
That's where I'm from.
It's where you're from?
That's where I'm from.
Yeah?
From where? I'm from North Carolina, and I used to work with all of those people that would, like, that were working in the political stuff back when I was in college, and that hurts that that's going on now. Like,
As a transgender person, I can't imagine what I would do if a bill like that were to ever pass here.
Mm-hmm. Would you get on that mic, please? Talk on that mic really quick. Thank you.
Because I don't really look like I belong in either bathroom, and the notion that I would have to carry around my ID just for the purpose of using the restroom is kind of terrifying.
Well, this is the first time I've met you. So you identify as transgender.
Yes.
And then, so biologically born as...
assigned female, female to male.
Biologically born female, and then transgender, living your life as male.
Yes.
Okay, and now how long has that been a process that you've been going through?
I've been out for about 2 years now.
Okay, and then, well, I mean, where are you from originally, and is this something your family is aware of, or are you doing this on your own, or...
My family's aware. They've been better than most. Pretty neutral on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. What name do they call you?
Actually, they have been managing to avoid names and pronouns altogether for an amazingly long period of time.
Hey, you, child of mine.
Really, really. They say my
child.
Hello,
child.
Or my sibling.
Okay.
So, they're not completely denouncing it, but they're still...
Now, I have a question. I've heard from, like, Katie Couric and from, like, Laverne Cox that it's inappropriate to always kind of go straight to a transgender person and ask questions about transitioning or what they've done or how far along they are. Do you find those kind of questions invasive? Or, I mean, because you're obviously so much more than your gender or how you're transitioning. But what's that process been like for you? Has it been something that you've been open about, or is it more of a private thing? I guess I want to ask that question before I ask you something inappropriate on the air, because I don't want to be offensive to, you know, to who you are as a person. You're beautiful.
Thank you. Honestly, I kind of had mixed feelings about that, and I've been debating that kind of morally with myself. Because I am involved with drag, I get asked a lot of invasive questions essentially every time I go out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to make the conscious choice that if I want to continue my career in drag, I need to be able to respond to these questions, be able to make a turning point in the conversation where I no longer have to speak about that.
Hold on. Bobby's making faces. What?
No, I don't think you should have to be involved in that conversation at all. Like,
but
that's
at the same time, but it's her, people don't...
But it's... I'm sorry. It's her choice or it's his choice?
This point, I'm using drag name, but I'm dressed like a boy, so we're playing pronoun roulette.
See, that's why I was getting confused, because I didn't know when she said doing drag, and then, okay, so pronoun, I want to be polite is what I'm getting at. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because he legitimately just said he was F to M. There should be no question about your pronouns.
F to M. Okay, no, I got confused, okay? I get confused with that sometimes. I admit it. I get confused. You're very androgynous to me. You're very androgynous to me.
And I am a drag queen, so definitely something different.
Okay. Well, you know what? I like that story, and I thank you for sharing it with us. And let's have you back on again sometime. We'll talk some more about it.
Awesome. Thank you.
We are over our time right now. We can still talk a little bit more for the live stream and for the podcast. I accidentally killed an animal this week on my car. I was driving. Have you hit anything with your car before? Like
a frog.
The frog. What about you, Alex? Have you anything hit the car before?
Oh, me? No, not yet. Sorry. I'm gonna have to jet after the FM's over because I have my suit thing to do.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is this is a raccoon on Forsyth decided to not get out of the way of my car. And so I was trying to ask I felt very upset by it, but you know, what animals do you feel bad about and which animals do you not feel bad about? Would you stop for a dog but not for a cat? Do you not stop for a raccoon? Do you pull over for an aardvark? I mean, what do you think?
An aardvark's gonna mess up your car, though.
What was I thinking of?
Armadillo.
Armadillos are scary creatures.
They're still gonna mess up your car.
No. Stop for them.
As our outro music starts to play, what a way to end the show. Roadkill and transgender. As our outro music starts to play, I want to thank everyone for coming in. Hey, Chrissy Mystery, thank you for checking in with us again this week, man. Did you have a good time?
I always have a great time. You follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That's Chrissy Mystery. It's Mr. with a Y.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for coming in today. Did you have a good time?
Absolutely.
Okay, how can people follow you and stay in touch?
You can find me on Facebook at Annie Nomaly, and that's spelled I can't spell them.
Okay,
N-O-M-A-L-Y.
Thank you very much. Alex the Young Upstart, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thanks so much for helping me out this week, and thank you for getting me out of my funk and helping us get a really great interview. If you want to hear the interview with Thorgy Thor, Naomi Smalls, and Robbie Turner from the world-famous Parliament House, that's up on GayRadioShow.com. It's up on Instagram. It's up on Twitter, at GayRadioShow. And we hope you check it out and get to hear. I felt it was a really fun time. I was really proud of it.
Oh, gosh, it was amazing, the best time.
And we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Cool, man. And then Bobby.
What up?
Hey, man. You want to come back again next week?
Sure.
Bobby mask.
No.
Totes mask.
I like my guys a little gay.
That's it for today's special edition of Outlet Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour. Always remember, we are one human family, sometimes dysfunctional, but still a family. And still next time, always swing first, fight good fights, and let justice roll. Until next time, I wish you enough.
So only our live viewers would know that Waluigi slept with Mario, and Mario gave him his hat as a souvenir.
That
was a Waluigi!
That was a full story.
I'm Justice, and I love you.
You are gay.
How are you ruined on the air? You made me look like an idiot.
What goes in and out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay? Okay.
Gorgeous.
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 And fabulous.
We here at Outlet Orlando give that 1, 2, 3. Gorgeous.
This is fabulous. Absolutely love it.
Didn't go to sleep, went to court, and now I'm very, very legal.
Yay!
That was the gayest arms I've ever seen to express that.
Now I'm very, very legal.
Jizz. It's a talk and entertainment show. I host it. I wanted to be entertaining to all people, gay, straight, young, old. I happen to be gay. You know, I don't want to do a radio show where it's us versus them mentality. We're one human family.
And the more you tout yourself around town as the happy homo, I mean, that's just great. That's f***ing great. I hate the word homo. I can't stand it. If someone calls someone gay, it's one thing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everything about it.
Can you get over the friggin' name of the pig and pat me in the back for matching the funds?
No. No. Because
we're matching the funds.
No.
It's Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour,
why?
Raising money for a good cause.
Because
get over it.
You
it's
could
such
not.
A good idea.
No, no, it's not.
It.
No, it's not.
You're
you know why?
You're passionate about it.
Do you know why?
You're passionate about AIDS education because you hate AIDS pig. You would buy a shirt that says I hate the AIDS pig.
No.
Yes, you would.
Goddess warrior princess Xena style.
It's
Outlet Orlando, ruining lives.
all across America.
On a daily basis.
Daddy poppers?
No.
I'm not saying that.
I'm like lobbing up beach balls for you to like come back with, you know, your sniper rifle of ha ha.
Dating the same guy.
Oh, that just came
Wait,
out.
Wait, what?
Look around you. Everything the light touches is gay.
Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
Of course.